Tentor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Torn in Flames by Susan Eileen. Narrated by Marguerite Gavin. Chapter 1. Bailey. It would have been a beautiful afternoon in June, if not for the dangerous creatures trying to kill my comrades and me. My body had countless cuts and scrapes, and I'd sprained my ankle when I dove away from the razor-sharp teeth trying to detach my head from my body. Instead of enjoying the scent of flowers and pine trees, scorched earth and blood filled my nose. The day had started great. I'd had a big bowl of cereal topped with fresh milk and sliced apples, along with upbeat music on the radio. Then I received a knock on my front door, summoning me to work. My boss wouldn't have believed me if I'd said I felt sick, since I had never caught so much as a cold, not after becoming more human, anyway. Now it was my job to protect life, liberty, and property with my enhanced skills, no matter the cost. At least they kept me fed rather well, along with a few other perks like electricity and running water, which I hadn't had since the apocalypse happened a little over 6 years ago. The dragon before me had breath like a mix of kerosene and rotting onions, turning my stomach every time it roared flames. This was the fifth time the beast had tried to burn my body to a crisp. One would have thought it would have given up, since it only made slayers feel a bit warm and blinded us for a moment. Also, it stung the gash on my forehead. I wiped the blood and sweat from my face with my free hand, keeping my sword up with the other. For the last few hours, I'd been fighting without a break, and it had taken its toll. All I wanted was for it to be over so I could rest and take a shower. This was the 20th green dragon I'd faced, with the other 19 littering the battlefield around me in various states of dead repose. A few had big tongues hanging from their mouths, which might have been cued on anything else. The Terrigan clan didn't hold back this time when they tried to attack the New American Coalition's most precious resource, an oil refinery in Catlettsburg, Kentucky. The government had spent a lot of time modifying it to fit their needs and couldn't lose it. I didn't live in the area, but they activated a squad of slayers from Asheville, North Carolina, to bolster the standing defenses. A Black Hawk helicopter had gotten us on the ground just over an hour after it started. Sadly, this wasn't the first time I'd come to protect the place, and probably not the last.
Bailey, watch your back!
Brody shouted. As a whooshing sound ripped the air, I dove to the ground and narrowly missed a giant spiked tail hitting me. I glanced between the green beast to my front and the one behind. It was annoying when they ganged up like that, but I'd figure out a way to kill them both soon enough. I'd faced greater odds. At the beginning of the battle, there had been 8 slayers and nearly 100 dragons. We handled the killing, but a contingent of human troops in nearby trenches used machine guns and RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, to knock the beasts out of the sky so we could reach them. They also had 2 sorcerers shielding the vulnerable people from fire. No one on our side had died yet, although I'd noted a few severely wounded, including 2 slayers, who they rushed from the battlefield. I didn't know them well since they stayed local to the area and didn't come with my team. Only 10 of our enemies remained, and I had 2 of them. "Thanks," I said to my fighting partner as I rose to my feet, favoring my right ankle. Policy dictated we pair up for battles so we could watch each other's backs, increasing our chances of survival. Brody was a big, muscular guy who could wield a lot of power with his preferred weapon, the mace. On the other hand, his size was also a weakness, since he lacked agility. I had that in spades, so we complemented each other. We usually didn't fight the same dragon simultaneously, but we took great pains to stay close. That way, we could pivot fast if the other got into trouble. Wanting to end things with the green dragon at my front, I swiped my blade at its face. The beast swung its head to the right as I'd hoped, and I dashed past it to jump on its big, scaly back. My boots had sharp metal tips on the toes that I'd had customized years ago. I could climb my oversized opponents easier and faster. Necessary when you're short and small. The dragon was at least 10 times bigger than me and could crush me if I slipped off. I dug my steel tips into its sides, gritting my teeth at the pain in my ankle, and grabbed the spikes along the creature's spine with my free hand. With a large heave, I pulled myself to the top and straddled my oversized enemy. The beast started bucking and swinging like a bull, only with much more force. I held my blade high, and when the dragon paused to switch tactics, I stabbed it in the neck. That didn't kill it, but it did make the bastard stop jerking all over the place. Instead, it tried to use its short, stubby arms to get my weapon out while choking on blood. I pulled the dagger from a sheath on my leg harness. Eyeing the soft spot on the back of the dragon's skull, I stabbed with all my strength. The blade sank to the hilt. The dragon shuddered for a second before dropping heavily to the ground. Like us, they couldn't survive major brain damage, and that spot proved their greatest weakness if one could reach it. I barely hung on from the fall, catching movement from the corner of my eye. The other beast's big green head appeared a few feet away, and its jaws opened wide, revealing dozens of sharp teeth. I jerked my dagger free and rolled off the dead dragon, slamming my shoulder into the ground. It hurt, but I had so many injuries at this point. The newest pain didn't rate very high. If only I could reach my sword before something happened that I couldn't survive. Still stuck in the neck of my last opponent, it was on the opposite side of where I lay. The dragon stuck a paw on its fallen brethren's back and leaned over to look at me. I lay there, far too vulnerable for my liking, with a small dagger in hand, trying to catch my breath and consider my next move.
"Bailey, finish it,"
Brody said, sliding a sword across the ground toward me. He had one as a backup, since sometimes his mace got stuck in dragon scales. I grabbed the blade like a lifeline when it skidded within reach, never taking my eyes off the beast above me. Its jaws had opened wide, and its teeth dripped sticky saliva onto my face. I waited for it to strike, certain it intended to eat me. Fear gripped my heart as I recalled watching that happen to a slayer once. It had been gruesome. The main difference was I'd landed on my back dozens of times and knew exactly what to do to save myself now that I had a proper weapon. As the dragon's head came down, I shoved the sword straight into its mouth and toward the back of its throat until it lodged in the spine. The beast choked, unable to chomp on me now. With the dagger in my other hand, I stabbed my attacker's left eye and then the right in quick succession. It gurgled in an attempt to roar and tried to twist away, now blinded. Noting the creature's head was as big as my body, an idea formed in my mind. I let go of my sword and scrambled to my feet. As the dragon snorted angrily, unable to see me with mutilated eyes, I grabbed the spikes at the top of its skull and pushed off the ground to straddle its nose between my thighs. The beast weakly clawed at my legs, unable to break through my highly durable uniform. I aimed my dagger at the soft spot at the back of its head and struck hard. As the big monster fell on top of its dead comrade, I slid away and planted my feet firmly on the ground. Despite the sore ankle, that was one of my better landings of the day. Laughter arose behind me. I turned to find Brody and a couple of other slayers standing together and grinning at me. A quick survey told me I'd killed the last dragon. We'd littered the field with their hulking green bodies, and the surrounding vegetation had either been scorched or trampled and covered in blood. One tree lost exactly half its branches. The beast's fire only burned what it touched and didn't spread like normal flames. It couldn't burn dirt or certain types of stone, though I had no idea why. There were several natural elements it didn't affect. Ignoring the other Slayer's amusement, I limped around my fallen enemies to retrieve my blades. They pulled free easily enough. As I grabbed a rag from my pouch on my leg harness, the others joined me. I kept my gaze focused on the weapons and wiped them clean.
Every time we go out to fight, you have to pull some crazy acrobatic move at least once, don't you?
Brody asked. Every Slayer had their style, and mine had received a lot of attention. I met his blue gaze, noting blood in his scruffy brown hair where he'd gotten a gash just above his left ear. At least it didn't appear too deep. I flipped his sword around and handed it to him, hilt first. I do whatever it takes to win.
No kidding,
Janna said, shaking her head. She had her fair share of wounds, with a deep cut in her forearm being the worst. It must have been in the last 15 to 20 minutes, since it still seeped blood. Despite the severity, it would heal without a trace in a few days.
You're not as fast as me, but you have us all beat when it comes to climbing and jumping.
She had also ridden with us from North Carolina, and I considered her among the best of us. We went on missions together as a squad at least a few times a month. Janna stood 5 inches taller than me with long legs and a well-toned frame, hugged by her black camrium pants and a halter top. We wore the same outfit as part of our uniform, but she filled hers out more. Not much about us was similar, aside from being female slayers. I had long black hair that went halfway down my back, currently in a tight braid for battle, whereas she preferred her brown locks cut short to stay out of the way. It worked nicely, since it drew attention to her striking brown eyes and thick lashes.
I guess we each get different advantages, I replied with a shrug.
The rest of the defense forces gathered nearby, chatting and tending their wounds. It still amazed me how the New American Coalition had acquired over 150 of us since its establishment. Who knew that many existed with a silent gene passing down countless generations before activating at the return of the dragons? The number had been closer to 60 when I first arrived, nearly 5 years ago, but more had showed up over time. It was rough going it alone, and the allure of food, safety, shelter, and civilization called to many. The captain strode our way, tall and lanky with cuts and gashes all over to match the rest of us. Although he didn't look like much, the man could fight better than anyone in our group. He was also an excellent strategist, and likely the reason we'd only had a few losses over the years. Even in those cases, the Slayer had made a wrong move our leader couldn't have prevented. I liked and trusted him.
Get yourselves cleaned up as best you can,
he ordered, checking us over with a critical eye.
You're going to serve us chow in a half an hour, and then we head back home.
Since we were all standing, he didn't bother to ask if we needed our wounds tended. Unless a Slayer lay knocked out on the ground, bleeding profusely, they'd likely be fine with a little rest. We might have the curse of needing to kill dragons as often as possible to quell our fighting urges, but at least we inherited the perks of quick healing and extra strength.
It's not going to be powdered eggs again, is it? I asked.
The meal had barely been edible the last time we came to Catlettsburg to save them. They took it for granted that we'd always risk our lives for them no matter what, but we ate much better back home.
Nope, the captain said, smiling. We just received some fresh supplies yesterday, so we're getting steak and potatoes.
Brody raised a fist in the air.
Hell yeah!
Good. I rubbed my stomach. I'm hungry.
We all are, Janna said.
It was a Slayer thing that we needed to eat extra food after a long battle.
You're going to have to clean up later.
The captain gestured at me to follow him.
Guests arrived a few minutes ago who want to talk to you.
What? Who? I asked.
The Straygood.
I scanned the area, my gaze stopping at the far side of the battle. Through a break in the trees, 2 men stood waiting. My Slayer instincts pulled on me as soon as I sighted them. Some deep part of my mind recognized them as dragons, even if they appeared human at the moment.
I wanted to attack, but I quickly quelled the urge. Catletsburg, Kentucky, resided along a tri-state border. Across a nearby river lay Ohio and West Virginia, though the woods currently blocked our view of them. The only shifter clan on the East Coast held territory in both states, as well as part of Maryland and half of Pennsylvania. They had hundreds more members than the Taugut in Oklahoma, which allowed them to hold additional ground. It had something to do with them enacting a treaty several centuries ago with their northern neighbors, when they crossbred with pure dragons to increase their population. The deal lasted about 50 years, but the new blood infusion drastically improved their fertility rates. I'd found them a wise and shrewd clan with excellent survival instincts, keeping to themselves most of the time, yet willing to fight when necessary. The new American coalition didn't like shifters all that much. I'd discovered that soon after my arrival. But with persistence, I'd convinced the human government to enact a truce with the Straygood. Having one less enemy at our border saved lives and provided useful trade. It was better to focus our attention on keeping the pure dragon clans at bay. Before I'd arrived, most slayers didn't have the black Camrian battle gear like mine and constantly had their clothes burned off during battle. That made it awkward, to say the least. I'd worked out a deal so we could have the fireproof wardrobe we needed. Also, before I came, the weapons that could effectively kill dragons were limited. They'd been using steel alloy blades that sorcerers spelled to keep them from melting when hit with flames, but shifters could make zephyrium metal weapons that proved more durable and effective. Unfortunately, few slayers could tolerate being near the half-dragons without succumbing to the urge to attack them. Their blood called us to fight no matter their form. So I often got drafted to talk to the Straygood. I didn't mind. Aiden, the love of my life and my mate, was a shifter. I missed him terribly, and being near his kind made me feel marginally better during our long separation. Once we reached 50 feet of our visitors, the captain stopped walking.
"You have it from here?"
"Yep, I'll be fine." He nodded.
"Don't take long. Chow will be ready soon, and I don't want you to miss it."
"Definitely not," I grinned. "But save me some if I don't make it back in time."
"Will do,"
he replied, glancing at the shifters with a grimace before rushing back. He'd gone as close as he could as a courtesy to me. No one in the New American Coalition outside of a few close friends knew the full truth of how I could stand to be around shifters. They thought it was because I'd worked with them in my early days as a slayer and had developed some sort of immunity. Little did they know how I'd fallen for one, or my other little secret back home in North Carolina. I avoided socializing outside of work because my personal life could cause problems if I didn't play it safe. I followed a path toward the shifters, glad to see them. It had been a few months since our last meeting. Both had short brown hair, golden tans, and muscular bodies. But the leader stood a few inches taller than the other guy and had a rigid, square face. Like all of his kind, he had golden eyes with black slits in the middle. Unlike Aiden's Pendragon back in Oklahoma, this one actually liked me.
"It's good to see you, Bailey,"
Cirrus said, extending his hand. I clasped forearms with him, following their custom. I smiled. "Good to see you, too."
"Your child as well?"
he asked, arching a thick brow. The first time we'd met, almost 4 years ago, he'd known I'd birthed a shifter. Apparently I carried the scent quite strongly. Being astute, he'd waited until he caught me alone to ask about it. That had been a long and complicated story, but I'd given him the gist. I'd explained how I'd had to flee Oklahoma while pregnant with the shifter's baby because of a sorcerer who compelled me with a magical orb to attack my mate's clan. His Pendragon had been irate, yet glad for an excuse to get rid of me. It didn't matter that I'd managed to hold back and avoid killing anyone with my strikes, despite being spelled, or that his own people had also been under the same control. At least I tried to fight the strong mental commands no slayer or dragon could resist. Cirrus had heard about the orb and its capabilities, so he understood it wasn't my fault. If only Nanak had seen it that way. Instead, I had to raise my child without Aiden, always wondering when we could return home and reunite our family. "My little messmaker is doing well, thanks," I said, cocking my head. "And your mate?"
"She is busy, as always."
His mate was a headstrong female who coordinated their border security. She'd done a fantastic job at keeping pure dragons out of their lands and anticipating where they might attack next. While she took her work seriously, she could also be a lot of fun. The few times I'd visited their jacal, the clan fortress, she'd made sure I had a good time. We might have gotten a little too drunk as well. "So what is going on?" I asked. The shifters hadn't been part of the battle, since it took place in human territory, though they couldn't have missed the commotion from across the river. There had to be some other reason for the Pendragon to make this trip. As much as he liked and respected me, he had a lot of stuff to do aside from hanging around here for a chat. Cirrus scanned the area and cocked an ear, as if making certain no one could overhear us. After a minute, he relaxed.
"Weeks ago, I finally convinced your leaders to send one of their airplanes to survey the territory out west."
"What? Really?" My eyes widened. After years of us asking, they actually agreed. Aside from wanting to return to Aiden, my biggest concern back home was the mysterious threat from a pure dragon clan, the Kandoran, who held territory in New Mexico and parts of Texas. They'd been attacking their neighbors with a vengeance since dragons reappeared, and edging closer to us. The last I heard before leaving for North Carolina was that all attempts to spy on the enemy territory had failed. No one could get close, or if they did, they didn't live to tell anyone what they found. Multiple sorcerers predicted danger that would come for us in the future from that clan, and it would be unimaginably dreadful. After arriving on the East Coast, I was surprised to discover that the Stregut knew about the problem and shared the same concern.
"Yes, your people agreed after we introduced them to Yoel. Her latest prediction foretold of the Kandoran eventually taking most of this continent over the next 20 years. With each conquest, they become stronger. There will be a point when we can't stop them, and that time is drawing closer,"
Cirrus said, golden eyes filled with unease. "Did they say when they'd send the plane?" I asked, trying to take in everything he'd told me. Yoel wasn't a shifter, but rather a powerful sorceress who worked for the Stregut clan. I'd only met her once. The frail, dark-skinned woman had appeared in her 50s, proving polite yet distant during our 2-minute conversation. Most of what she'd said didn't make sense. The last thing she'd whispered before walking away was, "Beware his potent gases," without elaborating further. Cirrus swore she had a sense of humor, but I still didn't get it.
"The aircraft left 2 days ago, but we've heard nothing since then from your government."
"The plane should have been back by now. I'll check on it."
"Thank you."
While I conducted some negotiations between the American Coalition and the Stregut, others higher up the chain usually handled the sensitive stuff. This would have fallen under that category, even if I had been pushing for the same thing for years. It was annoying they'd cut me out of the loop, even if I didn't have the proper clearance. I'd known we had the resources to fly reconnaissance missions across the country from altitudes where dragons couldn't reach us. But they'd argued they didn't want to expend the resources. That took precious fuel we needed for our other aircraft defending the borders. My battle today had been to protect a refinery, modified to fit our tactical needs and fuel consumption. Losing it would cripple us. The only other working plant we could access was in Stregood territory, but we had limited operations there due to logistics. "Hope I see you again soon," I said, ready to head back to my group. Though I enjoyed seeing them, exhaustion and hunger had weakened me. My ankle also needed me to sit soon so it could start its rapid healing process. As long as I kept putting weight on it, that wouldn't happen. Cirrus dipped his chin.
"Take care, Bailey."
His voice sounded sad. If my stomach hadn't let out an embarrassing growl right then, I might have asked about his mood. "You too." I returned to the battlefield and found a truck waiting to take me to the dining facility. The driver took off as soon as I hopped inside. They'd built a post near the refinery to house and support the defense forces. Instead of transporting me there, we took a detour to a waiting Black Hawk helicopter sitting in an open field. I gritted my teeth, annoyed. The captain stood by the open side door with the other two Slayers sitting inside, and no one appeared happy. "What the hell?" I asked as I limped to him. He handed me a warm brown box with a greasy underside.
"I've been recalled, which means we all have to return. You'll find your steak dinner in there."
"Seriously?" I grimaced. "What is so important they can't spare us a few more minutes?"
"I don't know, but I'm sure we'll find out soon enough."
We hurried to climb into the helicopter. I strapped into my seat and opened the box, sighing at my lack of cutlery. Oh well, it wasn't the first time I'd eaten with my fingers. Taking the steak in hand, I found it tough and not as delicious as I'd hoped, but it settled my empty stomach right away. Everyone else was quiet, with Brody and Jana having closed their eyes to catch catnaps. That wasn't unusual after a long battle, and would help them heal faster. I inhaled my meal without tasting much, and stretched my legs in front of me. As the miles flew by, the sharper aches and pains dulled. A good night of rest would almost have me back to normal. Just as I started to nod off, we landed in Asheville, where I'd been living for over 5 years. North Carolina was beautiful in this part of the state, and nothing like Oklahoma or Texas. It had mountains and tall trees everywhere. I wouldn't have minded staying in this place forever if I didn't have Aiden and other people I miss too much. After a final briefing from the captain, we went our separate ways. It was a 15-minute walk to my cozy house on the base, but it felt much longer. We tried to conserve fuel whenever possible, so we usually had to travel on foot or take a bike everywhere, except for critical missions. Despite my injuries, I shuffled along as fast as I could. Family waited for me, and I missed them even if I'd only been gone for about 7 hours. Relief washed over me as soon as I saw my home up the street. It was a one-story house with white siding, two windows on either side of the front door, and a small covered porch. The yard was bare due to a large pine tree that constantly shed needles, but a red tricycle sat next to the sidewalk to give the place a little color. We had 3 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. It wasn't fancy, but we had it better than many others. If I hadn't been a Slayer with several family members living with me, I would have likely received a tiny apartment that I'd have to share with a stranger. Many factors were involved when deciding which home everyone qualified for, but my job played an important part. The more value a person added to society, the better their accommodations and pay. I made my way up the cement steps and opened the door. No one was in the living room, but my gaze narrowed on a scorched section of the wood floor near the coffee table. What the hell? That had definitely not been there when I left. "Mom?" I called out. "In here," she said, strain in her voice. I found her in the kitchen at the back of the house, sitting at our small round table. The sight of her made me gasp. Her gray hair was frazzled, deep lines knit her brows, and her blue dress appeared slightly singed on the left sleeve where it almost reached her elbow. Danny kneeled next to her, rubbing ointment on my mother's arm. Her skin was raw and red with tiny bubbles across the top. My gut churned at the possibilities. What happened? Danny, my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?